Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
And welcome to the Alpha Males
Alpha
Podcast.
Podcast, episode
23, probably.
23.
22?
Maybe, if it's not, you're wrong.
We did skip
24?
A week.
24?
24. On purpose.
Yeah, I was
we would never
last
be negligent.
Week. I mean,
he was sick last week. That's a genuine excuse.
But we're here today.
We are here today.
Not when it's supposed to come out. We'll find out.
We'll see. You'll see.
Did you know that a fact is a thing that is known or proven to be true?
What?
Wow. What? Wow. What a fact.
What a fact. Is that known or proven to be true?
Good question. That's what the podcast is all about, actually. Number 15.
Valhalla.
Episode Valhalla.
Episode Valhalla.
So our last episode was, we said this is the last time we're going to talk about Assassin's Creed Valhalla for a little bit. And that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it's about time we started talking about it again.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
We both have it. We both are 7% through the game. Mm-hmm. One of us had a little bit more frustrating time playing it than the other.
Thank you, Uplay,
for
that.
Thank you, Uplay. What had happened was, I'll give a little explanation, is, so the way, I don't have internet. Well, I do have internet, but it's a mobile hotspot, and there's no way I could download all of Valhalla, because I would use up all of my internet for the whole month. So, well, we did big brain stuff.
Big brain.
John downloaded it, brought it over via external hard drive, and we put it in my computer. We got it working. So I go to play the game. Like, we hang out for a little bit, then he leaves. I play the game till like 2 a.m. Right? I play about 4 or 5 hours. I get through Norway.
Spoilers.
Into England.
You go from Norway to England in this game.
Dang it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you guys. So I get to England. I was like, okay, this is a good place to quit. So I save the game twice. I quit the game. I go to bed. I wake up in the afternoon. Oh, I don't know. Sometime. I wake up.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, I'm off today. Might as well play some Valhalla. I launched the game. All of this is done offline. Save is corrupted. All of my saves are corrupted.
Oof.
I knew something was up when I launched the game and it asked me to reset my options. And I thought, well, this is going to be annoying. Every time I play the game, I have to set my options.
Yeah.
Like, that's stupid. And then I didn't have my save, so I was like, uh-oh. So I Google it, find out this is happening to a lot of PC and PS4 players. I'm trying to fix it, not working. I'm emailing Ubisoft, and they tell me that I need to update to Windows 10. Like, not to Windows 10, to the latest Windows 10.
I'm Windows XP, trying to get the Windows 10.
Yeah. For some reason, it's not working on Windows 98. I don't know why, but so I finally, I'm doing all this stuff. I'm like launching the game online, offline, like trying everything. I'm keeping my saves in and out. Nothing is working. So I go and I launch it. I finally download Windows 10, which takes so long because halfway through I run out of internet for the month because my internet resets on the 19th.
I forgot about that.
So I had to like steal my family's internet. Mm-hmm. And use it just to finish Windows 10. And then when Windows 10 finished, they didn't even download the latest version of Windows 10. Why did it update to the previous update?
Yep.
So I had to
sit there
and download another Windows 10 update.
I want to mention as well, I was there for all of this, and it was extremely entertaining. It was beautiful.
We were writing a song
all the way through. Yep.
And oh, it was so annoying.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there like, Windows 10, please.
Well, and I'm glad at the end of the day that worked, though, right?
Yeah, literally by some miracle it worked. Now, my internet, when it runs out, I still have it, but it's like when you run out of high-speed data on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You basically don't have data. But I can't play the game without internet. If I play the game without internet, the saves get corrupted again and lost. So I'm hoping they fix that in an update. We'll see. But what I've been doing this week, because I've been sick and I've been playing Valhalla very like sparingly.
Sparingly.
So I've been playing it very sparingly, and like I keep my internet on the whole time because I'm so scared, and it's kind of annoying because like at least then I wasn't doing anything with my internet because it ran out, but now I'm worried that I'm gonna run out of internet faster
as a result of this,
because I'm just playing Valhalla with the internet, but I haven't lost my save, and it really sucks. But I love the games.
I mean, I think if Windows 10 fixed it for you, though, that you really don't have to worry about cloud saving. Like, you could just do it
locally. No. Because the first thing I did when I found out it worked is I played it again without internet, and it didn't work.
It didn't save? Really?
No.
That's weird.
Yeah, so I still don't know what's wrong. Also, I want to mention, I played the open... There's like an opening cutscene where you play as A4 as a kid. Spoiler alert. I played that so many times. Sean, time... There was this one really sad part. And I'd be like, no, wait.
The horse dying. Yes.
The horse died. The horse dies. I cried 7 times that night, all because the horse died.
It felt like much more than 7 times on my end.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was very annoying. But I did, like, you know, if I was going to do an Assassin's Creed Valhalla video, I know a lot about the opening, like, mission.
True. Maybe you should do the first look thing.
Yeah. Like the gates, the doors of Odin's house or whatever. See? Odin's house. Already got stuff.
Yeah.
It's his house. Trick or treat. But. Other than that,
closes on you. Little A4 is like, trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
No candy for you, A4.
No.
Odin's kind of a jerk in this game, guys.
Yeah. But, you know, other than that, I'm enjoying the game, though.
Yeah.
How's your experience, John?
It's a ton of fun, man. I just got, for the first time on my end, to England. And I've like raided a few places. I've built up, I think I built up the blacksmith's place, which I think was a mission, so that's default. And then also Yang Lai's merchant area.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the first two you did?
That's the first one that I did, because she was the first one that I saw after the blacksmith. It's just whatever I see next, I'll take care of. The next one that I want to do is Bermuda's. I don't know his name.
Bahama. The horse guy?
No, not him. The assassin's guy. It's not even the B guy, because he left.
You should have said...
It's the R guy.
You should have said the...
The assassin guy, probably, but he's now just Bermuda. The assassins.
That's literally like I did the blacksmith, and then I went up to the longhouse.
I saw
an assassin's logo. Yeah. I'm like, oh, let me find that. Then I was like, they're like, do you want to build it? I was like, of course I want to build it. It's like,
I want to do it as well. It looks cool. It looks cool. You get, I don't know.
It looks cool, man. I wish you did that one because then I could talk about it. But
yeah, spoilers.
I mean, this isn't. We're not going to spoil. Actually,
no, we're not going to talk too much about it. This is mostly just little bits of gameplay stuff that you have from there. No story or anything like that. The gameplay, by the way, and I'm going to pitch this to you guys as heavily as I can, but it's so good. All right, the combat in this game improves upon the last two by like miles. I don't know what it is about it, but it just feels like so much fun. I prefer it to Odyssey by far, and I surprisingly prefer it to Origins, despite the fact that that one felt so good as well. It just feels heavier, and maybe it's the fact that they also, it seems like they went for an increased damage thing on both sides, so it's easier to die. It's also easier to kill, so you feel like an actual warrior just mowing people down.
Have you Have you died a lot? I mean, I know you died to fire.
I did die to fire. I think I died to the boss battle in Norway once. And then I think that might be it. But I mean, like, the damage that you take, like, you can get two hits and you'll be on like a third of your bar already. So it's very, you know, and the dodge mechanic makes it feel it's more dodgy than it is taking damage, which I feel like is slightly different from the other games, and or tanking damage, and I like that feeling a lot. One thing that I will say that I don't like about the game, and I actually like it about the game, but I'm annoyed by how many graphs of skills there are. I have unlocked so many on accident because I keep on. Like, I want to go down to the little assassin move, and then I went down and I hit like one skill, a whole nother graph opens. The next skill, a whole nother graph opens. Like, it's wild how many the things there are.
Like, when I'm playing the game, like when I'm going through the skills, sometimes I'll see a skill I want to have, like. Mm-hmm. Like rolling when you fall, but then I'll see, like, either I can unlock that or click this one and it'll unlock the next tree. And then I'll see what that. So sometimes I'll be like, okay, I'll just unlock the next tree. Mm-hmm. And then next time I level up, I'll get the rolling when you fall. And I already know if I want the next tree or not. So I hate it though.
Yeah, it's just so much. The one good thing about it, at least, is that it looks like there's no price to resetting your skill points. Like in the other games, you had to like give denarii or whatever. In this game, you just reset your skill points and then but that's annoying too, because now I have to run down the whole tree just to find where I want to go.
I like the way they did it in Origins more. Origins is the one I've played most recently compared to Odyssey. Mm-hmm. But I preferred knowing what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I'd prefer like knowing I'm working, like in Origins, all the way on the bottom right was like buying a chariot. Mm-hmm. And so I know I'm working towards that.
Yeah.
Like right now, I'm working, like the way I'm doing it is I'm kind of opening up the whole bottom and then I'll work my way around. But what if there's something like just one to the left really want,
that you want,
but I just don't know is there?
Yeah.
Which is a little like frustrating. Mm-hmm. But
it is exciting to open up to the other skill, because it is an interesting way of introducing skills later on. Like, they could have just done the Origins way and then put like a little lock over it or something, but now I just don't know what to expect going forward as far as skills are concerned. And that's also true of the abilities. It's also interesting that they split the abilities and the skills. Because now you can find little scrolls or little books scattered around different parts of the map, and they'll actually give you powers that you can use, which are pretty cool as well. There is a much more of a sort of mystery to what your character is actually going to be capable of later on. So, little mixed bag on how I feel about it, but hey.
Yeah, I mean, it's still fun.
Yeah,
I still like
still
the
a lot
game.
Of fun. Do you think that you're gonna go down a more assassin route, more warrior?
Yes.
I don't think you're gonna go range. Assassin?
I have been using the bow a lot.
I've been using it a fair amount. More than I thought I would.
I find the bow really nice. Mm-hmm. Nicely done. I don't know. It just feels good to use.
I mention the picking up of arrows is so much nice. You don't have to actively do it. You just walk by an arrow and everyone's mine.
Yeah. I find myself spamming the pick up arrow button.
Knowing
that Aimor's gonna pick it up anyway.
Yeah. And then the fire mechanic. Oh my god. I wish they'd handle this
when I
from
got
before.
On fire.
Huh?
I hate when I'm on fire.
I hate when I'm on fire. No, but with the bow and arrow in all the other games, you could get fire arrows. In this game, you put your arrow up to fire and it lights.
No. You could do that before. I'm pretty sure that you could do it in both games before.
I never tried it, I guess, in the other ones.
I remember doing it in Odyssey.
Yeah.
I remember just because the way I did it was Alexios had his bow out, right? Mm-hmm. And I walked really close to Flame, and then his bow lit on fire.
Oh, did it?
Without me even aiming. So you could do it before.
I didn't know. But they explicitly told you this time that it could happen.
Did they? Because I don't remember them telling me. They didn't tell me.
Did they? Actually, I don't remember. I think I ended up in a side quest that required me to burn down a house, because I don't know, there was a couple that wanted to do some frisky stuff.
Did you do that one?
That was a great quest.
So funny.
And so they're like, okay, you need to set this thing on fire, and I'm like, well, I don't have any way of doing that. And then I was like, well, what if I tried lighting it? And then it turned out to work, and I was like, "You've never been able to do that before." But apparently,
can I say the way I did that quest? I don't know if it's so. I talked to the lady, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll help you. This is funny." So I went in her house and immediately destroyed everything before they even said, like, "Oh, maybe you have to start destroying stuff." And then I took out a torch because that's how I light stuff on fire, and I threw it at the ground before they asked me to burn their house down. So the whole house was on fire, and they're like, "This isn't good enough." I was like, "What do you want?
What do you want?" That's great,
man.
Did you come across? And these are kind of spoilers, but again, they're just side quests. So I'm gonna say it's fine.
Yeah.
But I'll just spoil one more. Did you come across the guy who was throwing his possessions off a cliff?
Oh no.
You didn't come across that one? Okay. So what happens? I don't even know if you can go back to it at this point. Well, you can go back to Norway, right? So it might be fine.
Yeah.
But it's one of the mystery quests, and he's up on this on a really, really high mountain. And he's there with his horse, and he's like, "Yo, dude, I want to have my possessions with me when I die, and I'm getting up in age and stuff. So could you help me throw these off of this cliff? Because apparently that's, you know, culturally how it would be carried with him." So I'm Eivor, and I'm like chucking them all off the cliff, you know, just one by one. Oof, 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 oof. Roblox oof sound. And then they like converse about it a little later on. He's like, "Ah, thank you for your help. I really appreciate it." And then Eivor's like, "So what do you plan on doing now?" And he's like, "What do you mean?" And then he says something else that I don't remember, and he just chucks himself off the mountain. And Eivor's like, "Oh."
Okay.
It was the greatest. Oh, man. It was such a funny quest.
So I think one of my favorite things about side quests in this game is they literally do not tell you what to do.
Yeah.
You get no quest marker. You get no little thing on your screen, like on the side saying, like, "Here, go follow this guy," or "Throw this guy off a cliff." It's just implied what you do.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite one, and it happens on Norway, is you're riding to a town, and there's these kids. Mm-hmm. And if you go up and talk to them, they're like, "We're going on a raid." Did you do this one?
Could you hear that? Wait. I could. All right. What? Again?
So there's a side quest when you're in Norway where you're going to that city, and you run into these kids, and they're like, "We're going on a raid."
I haven't done that one, no.
Okay, so I obviously stopped and talked to these kids, and they were, like, really young, and they're like, "We're gonna go raid and be the best Vikings ever." And I was like, and they're like, "Could you join us?" I was like, "You know what? Yes." And it was really fun because you're running with these kids to, like, a mock town with, like, some straw men, and it doesn't tell you to do anything. Like, I could have walked away, and these kids would have went their own way. Mm-hmm. But, like, you get there, and the kid is like, "We approach this town. We are going to conquer it." And then it's up to you to destroy everything. Mm-hmm. And, like, you slice the different straw men. And then you break some barrels and stuff. Like, all without direction. While the little kid is giving you, he's just giving you, like, "Oh, and we destroy all their stuff. And we find some loot." And it's very adorable. And then the end of it, I am going to spoil the end of it because it's nothing big, but the kids go, the kids go, yeah, that Raven Clan will never stand up against us wolves. And the Raven Clan is your clan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you literally just helped them prepare to raid your own. It was so fun. And then Eivor, when they run away, just goes, I will meet you again one day, Wolf Clan, when you're older. And I'm like, that's perfect. It's such a perfect, like, way to do a quest. And I'm glad, because I've done a bunch of those side quests, and they never tell you what to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's so good.
And even, with, like, I've only done a few of them or whatever, but they've all been like that and also varied enough that they're not repetitive at all at this point.
Yeah,
like,
I haven't done one that... Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a very good experience. I appreciate you, Ubisoft, on this one.
So, based on where you're at, 7% through the game, compare it to the other games. Like, do you like it more or less? Like...
So I'm gonna say that I like it more right now, but I'm not sure if that's because it's what I'm playing right now, or if it's because generally speaking, I think it's the better game.
Okay.
I think that the combat is more fun. I think that the story so far is better than Odyssey, but potentially less compelling than like what was happening to Bayek at this point. You know. Because what happened to Bayek 7% through the game had already been like a crazy ride by this point. Whereas this one, it's like, okay, a few things that are important have happened. And I guess there has been some tragedy, but you know.
I mean, that horse died 7 times.
Yeah, the horse did die 7 times. Maybe it is more story, but I think the story in Origins by this point might have been more compelling to me. But the rest of it has just been really, really good. I'm looking forward to where it goes. I don't know. Yeah, I think I prefer it, gameplay-wise, definitely, better than the other two for me.
Okay. I think it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy the assassin characters we have met so far, even though they're not assassins yet, hidden ones. I think they're some of the best characters we've met in Assassin's Creed in the 3 games. I mean, we don't have much about them, but like based on like the intro to them compared to the intro to any other character, I like them more.
Yeah.
And it's probably just an assassin bias. Like, but I was thinking about it today. I think, as of right now, I still like Origins more. I don't know if that's because I'm such a Bayek stan.
Yeah.
That, like... And I've completed Origins. So it's hard to compare 7% to I've completed
I don't want to Origins. Cut you off. But what is that? You have, like, a little green dinosaur on your floor that's... Oh my god.
It's a little green dinosaur. My friend sent it to me.
Have you ever you've seen Kevin play, is it called Luminosity or something like that? You know the game where that's exactly what just happened to me. Like you picked it up.
I got
big old like dog sized dinosaur.
I literally got so scared. I was scanning my camera like there's a spider or like a snake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or a dinosaur.
I'm gonna die. Or a dinosaur. Oh man, that's great. So yeah, I'm a Bayek stan, and I prefer.
Yeah, you but
Origins. But I think then it's hard to compare
Bayek as a character to Eivor so far. Although I like Eivor, and though we haven't gotten far enough with Eivor, I guess to necessarily make too much of an assessment. But I also prefer Norse culture to Egyptian culture. I think it's cooler.
Color.
It's racist. Sorry, I misspoke.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I don't know, it's weird to say, because I never knew anything about Egyptian culture going into Origin. Like, okay, I really liked Norse and Greek because of Rick Riordan.
Yeah.
And I never read the Rick Riordan books about Egyptian culture.
King Chronicles,
but then coming out of Origins, I think I like the way, I guess maybe the way they handle Egyptian culture more.
Okay.
But the way the Norse culture is going right now, mm-hmm. oh, it's so good. Like, so good. It's so good. Also, yeah. I want to mention what the thing that's back that was gone in Odyssey but was in Origins is when you take out an Order of the Ancients, you get, like, an interrogation scene,
mm-hmm.
which was in the old Assassin's Creed games, then was removed for Odyssey and then put back in. And I love them. It's such a good time when you killed your first boss in the game and you have mm-hmm. that like scene of him taunting you in the afterlife.
Yeah.
And you know, you have that without going spoiler, you have that character who shows up mm-hmm. and helps you take him out in the it's so good. Yeah. It's handled really, really so good. Well.
It's one of those things that again, I question heavily why they would take that out of Odyssey. Even though they weren't didn't trying want to make an Assassin's Creed game. That's what it feels. That brings up a point that I want to make. But Valhalla, and again, I'm pitching this as heavily as I can to you guys. But it feels like it took the good elements of Origins, took the good elements of Odyssey,
removed
the bad elements of Odyssey, and then put it all together.
It is genuinely a really good game. I'm having so much fun with it. Like, I really want to keep playing it, but I have to be up in like mm-hmm. 9 hours or something, so I can't play it tonight. I cannot wait to play more of it. It's so good. There's something else I wanted to bring up, but I forgot. How do you feel about Sunin? That's the
I Raven. Haven't used Sunin super often. Not as often as I did in the old games. And I don't mind
they made Sunin. They nerfed the bird.
For sure. Nerfed yeah. the bird. It doesn't have the same thing with Eagle Vision, because if you mark a target, it's a temporary marking.
Odin Sight, as they call it, right.
which was actually one of the gripes that I had when we were talking about the game, I think in the last podcast, where I was like, it's a bit too easy to just mark things forever, and then there's no sneak factor. We still don't have too much of sneak factor, because you can just spam Odin Vision.
Yeah.
At the same time, there's a bit more.
It's just like the older Assassin's Creed games, because you could do the same in those. Mm-hmm. I really like it. I'm upset that they nerfed the bird, mm-hmm. not because I'm glad that you can't mark everything,
mm-hmm.
but I do feel zero connection with this Raven.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it's hard to even remember his name. Mm-hmm. Like,
you just said it, and I forgot
Icarus. Yeah, as much as, like, Icarus, like, I mean, I don't even think Icarus was that close. Mm-hmm. But Bayek's bird, which I forgot
Senu.
His name, Senu.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just maybe I felt more connected. Maybe it's just because I'm an Origin stan now. Maybe, I love Bayek.
I will say that I think I felt more connected to Icarus than I did Senu. So we're kind of opposites in that regard. And I feel like Icarus is just a good name. For some reason, that one just sticks Icarus. In my mind. More than the other ones, but I still genuinely don't remember the bird in Valhalla.
I think it's Sunin.
Maybe because it starts with an S, it just makes me think, oh, it's Black Senu. in this case, Raven,
you know,
Senu.
The only reason I use the bird really
mm-hmm.
is and I would do this in both Valhalla and Odyssey. You know mm-hmm. when you're on a horse and you can have the horse automatically go to your quest objective,
mm-hmm.
which annoys me because it kind of like encourages you not to play the game,
mm.
right? Because you're like, oh, you drive,
yeah,
and then you just sit back and do nothing. And now they added it to the longships.
Yeah,
while that annoyed me at first, the way I've always gotten around it. Is I go into bird view and I fly around as the bird.
Yeah.
And like I'm doing nothing but like getting a bird's eye view of
you're getting more exploration going on and everything.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't remember exactly, but like storytelling and music playing in the old games, on the ships were proximity based, which it still kind of is.
Yeah.
But now if you're either in cinematic mode or if you're using the bird, yeah, you can still hear everything. Whereas
see,
before,
my
I
thing
don't
is,
if that's
I
the case.
Still haven't been able to hear any songs. I don't know why.
Really?
I literally, last time I said play a song,
yeah,
and they started. I could hear the guitar, mm-hmm. but like barely, and I was very upset. I'm like, I want to hear these songs.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I don't either. I'm really like wanting to hear the songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I was in a. I did a mission, right,
mm-hmm.
where you have to help some Vikings take back their city
mm-hmm.
To get an allyship, right? So I was doing that mission, and this is something I want to ask you: how do you feel the all-out war feel? Because I hated the war in Odyssey, because mm-hmm. it would cutscene. Then you're in like a war where you have to kill like seven people. And
it was just
a
gimmicky sort of mini game sort of deal. Yeah. It wasn't very good. This one, I like it a lot more. I'm still gonna say, you know, because it's a video game, it still doesn't feel like an all out war or anything like that. But it feels good.
Yeah, but we've only done little
skirmishes
battles, so.
Essentially. Yeah. Yeah. We don't have massive armies or anything there yet.
Yeah.
But it does feel really nice to be able to just, you know, and this was true of the other games, but still, to just assist a random dude on your side and then go back and fight, you know, a boss. And then you're also, like, the lead in sort of advancing the entire army because you're capable of climbing things, so you can break doors open for the rest of your crew to come through and stuff like that. Mechanically it just feels really good. It's a good experience.
I think the best part, I did a raid of a village that was a little bit too high level for me. It wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, like the way it works is if there's a red dot next to their name, it's mm-hmm. going to be a hard fight. And then if it's a red, like crossbones or something, it's like basically impossible.
Yeah.
And it was a red dot. So I was like, oh, this is going to suck. Bow time. Which also I want to bring up. I remembered what I was going to say earlier about the bow. The enemies now have like weak spots, and it's like weak spots in their armor or stuff. There was an enemy, his weak spot was his head. Well, obviously that's an automatic kill, but there was like a weak spot in this guy's both of his knees. So if you hit both of his knees,
mm-hmm.
he gets like super damaged and he goes down. He gets stunned for a while.
Cool.
And I've noticed it on like a lot of the enemies. I don't know if it's every enemy or just mm-hmm. like the ones that are a little like tougher,
mm-hmm.
But I really like that because like there when I got to this raid and it was really difficult, I was running up and I was like, okay, let me hit him in the knees and then go do a stomp on him,
yeah,
do like the stun knee. attack.
Yeah
And but the best part about that raid was I was not only like underpowered for the place, I felt like my raiders had a better chance of defeating some of these enemies than which I mean, I know it's early game, but it does feel really cool for an early game hero to not be overpowered right mm-hmm. away, because
well, to be
I
fair,
actually
if
had
you
to
put
like
it on like Nightmare or something, you would feel that immediately.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But
yeah I mean, I play it on Nightmare anyway.
Of course. Oh yeah, I mean, that's what we're describing actually.
Yeah.
Why did I even bring that up?
I got really annoyed because I did die during that, and then I was mm-hmm. then I had like in my mind like, oh well, now you're all dying. So I raided and I burnt down every building,
mm-hmm.
which your raiders will do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I did for vengeance sake, just threw torches everywhere.
That is the fun
like
part,
Minecraft.
So.
And then like I started like killing these people, and I loot the final chest.
Mm-hmm.
And the game crashes.
Oh my gosh.
I got so mad. I beat that village.
Yeah.
I had so many materials. I was going to build so much. And then the game died. And I hated it.
I was going to build so much.
I was going to build up the biggest walls. Oh man. I got so annoyed.
Yeah.
So how do you, I just love the rating.
Yeah, the rating's
I think
a lot
it's
of
a lot of fun. You can just either, while you're on your longship, aim at the shore and raid, or mm-hmm. You could just go near the shore and call in a raid, and your longship will show up and raid with you.
Yeah,
which is brilliant, because I would hate to have to be on my longship.
Right, that would be really annoying. And speaking of the longship and just the rest of your crew, but the feeling of cooperation in this game, I love it so much, because we've not had that before. Every single time that you like bust open a door during a raid, you're calling somebody else over to do it.
Yeah,
you're able to basically, with the horn, I think you can also call over troops toward where you're at to fight with your enemies and stuff, to get a little bit of backup and stuff. And stuff like that has existed in a lot of other games, but it's always, to me, felt a bit more gimmicky. And for some reason here, they just nail it for me. I really love the feeling that comes from it, as well as just the little bits of dialogue that they sprinkle in while a raid is going on that had no business being there, but it's so, you know, it adds so much flavor to the fight and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I really, even like the fact that your teammates can go down and you have to revive
them. Yeah.
When I first did it, I was like, that's cool, but this is going to get annoying. It hasn't gotten annoying yet.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't happen all the time, mm-hmm. but you do feel the need to be like, oh no. You, even though I don't know who this character is.
Right.
And they did say you would know every character by name. Mm-hmm. That hasn't happened yet.
I know one.
Here's to hoping.
Dag.
Dag. but, like, I still feel like I need to help this guy up. He's my brother in arms.
Right.
And it's just really cool. To know that, like, it's a co-op game when it's
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I love it.
And I love leaving them behind once the raid is over, because they're like, Aver will be like, all right, back to the ship once you've gotten the stuff, which is also, by the way, good game design, because it's like, at first you'll get like the first chest, the main chest or whatever in a village, and Aver will be like, I wonder if there's something more, and then you'll move on, find the other one, and then you know that you've cleared the place, because Aver will be like, all right, let's head home, which is good design. But then I love it because they'll all head back to the ship, and then I'll go in the other direction to find you know, just talk to random villagers, or just kill randos that are walking up the road or whatever, which is a lot of fun as well. And you'll find that if you just like follow behind the Englishman sometimes, just walking down the path, I think that they'll just have like little dialogues, and it's like you can just listen to that, which is cool.
Do you operate with your hood on a lot?
A lot of the time, yeah.
I think I only don't have it on in combat. Mm-hmm. When I get out of combat, I put it back on.
I forget. I think so it's often.
Cool. Yeah.
I end up remembering once I'm like, oh, this is a bad area, because it actually tells you.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I
forget. I like that it's an actual feature too. Like, mm-hmm. if you're not wearing it, you're more likely to be caught.
Yeah.
I like that they're actually adding like gameplay to a hood.
Mm-hmm. And they also don't make it like impervious either, because if you get close enough with the hood on, they're still like, oh, I can see your face, and they'll attack you.
It's you. So I like that the hood stays on during cutscenes as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a small detail that makes me feel like, oh yeah, I'm wearing the hood, so you're wearing the hood in the cutscene. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Something that's kind of annoying to me, but also I'm glad I have it, is Twitch Prime, twitch.tv/Legion of Two, you can sub there. We're not streaming, but go ahead and sub. After you sub to us on Twitch Prime, you get a free armor set, which includes a pigeon outfit for your Raven. Which I put on for literally a second and then took off, because I was like, this doesn't fit. But it also gives you a full armor. I don't remember what the armor is called. It's not Viking armor. I'm going to send it to you, Sean.
Okay.
But the hood is not fur. It's like a red cloak.
Okay.
And I, at first, oh, I don't know if that just came over. If you guys just heard my audio.
I'm going to try to show you, video watchers.
Oh, okay. Video watch. Sorry. My audio might have been picking up my desktop audio. And if it was, then they just heard the beginning of my Mr. Rogers, Mr. Robbie's Neighborhood. Because that's what happens when you open All right, Discord. So it's called the, for audio listeners, it's called the Carolingian Dynasty Gear Pack.
God, the names of this game are insane.
Oh, way. I don't try to pronounce anything.
Nothing.
I don't pronounce a single thing.
What culture is this? Is this like English?
That's what I'm trying to figure
Saxon?
Out.
It could because be Saxon.
The helmet looks very like
Roman-esque.
Like but not even Roman. Like I cannot remember what it's called. Something.
Okay.
Middle Eastern.
Does it? Ish. Yeah.
Yeah, the
feather.
The Caligulian dynasty or empire was an empire that spanned halfway down Italy, most of Western Europe except for Spain, and that's about it.
Okay. So not Middle East, England. But all the same.
It looks Middle East. It
looks slightly Middle Eastern, but the hood, you can tell at least that it's something to do with England because of the crosses everywhere. Yeah.
But it's not actually, because I just said it wasn't England. It literally
European, whatever.
But I do like the armor. I hate that I'm using the armor though,
mm-hmm.
because it does, like I've said this before, but I like using the armor that feels like it fits the character.
Mm-hmm.
So like Bayek, I never changed out of the Bayek armor, which I was glad in Origins that the armor didn't really have ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Odyssey, I didn't care after a while because it all felt the same. But this one, I'm using this armor because it's the best armor they have. But I'm also upset because like I want to wear like the fur and stuff.
Yeah, cosmetically, you want to be the same as the crew. I just left mine on. Then again, I don't have that armor. I think I would leave it on anyway.
I do like the hood though. I like the fur, but nice. I love the look of the hood.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing that.
Pretty good, man.
And
AC Valhalla,
I mean,
good game.
You might be able to change the skins in
could
this,
be
because you can you can change the skins in both other games, so I haven't tried, but yeah, I really enjoy Valhalla. I could literally
also
keep talking
can
about
I say
it,
I'm gonna say real quick before we do move on,
go ahead,
is that I'm really glad that they by default hide your helmet. I think that's great.
Genius.
They finally got it right.
Genius.
Video game developers,
they did something
watch
right.
This and take notes. Okay.
Oh, actually, I'm gonna say it. Well, one, I like the modern day. I don't want to go into it because I don't know anything about it yet, but it seems very well done. But the one more thing I want to ask is, do you have it where the hidden blade will auto one-hit kill?
I didn't set that up, and I imagine it's not default, so no.
It's not default.
Okay.
I don't have it set up one-hit kill,
mm-hmm.
but I am thinking about putting it on one-hit kill because I tried to assassinate just like a higher-level random guard.
Yeah.
And it didn't kill him, and I kind of got thrown out of, like, this is a great Assassin's Creed game, because mm-hmm. I was like, wait a minute, I have to...
Well, that was the same with Origins as well, although you could set it there. Yeah.
But this one, this is, because they didn't do it in Origins or Valhalla, where you can, I don't think they could, where in the, like, because in Origins you had, like, the Hack the Animus thing, where you could just change it. But this is, like, an actual just setting.
Oh, it's just a setting.
It's a setting.
I guess that's
like,
better. Yeah.
Yeah, and I might put that back on because
okay.
I think it's a lot of fun to try to stealth your way into something.
Right.
And then assassinate everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe it might be a little too overpowered. But we'll see how I feel. I'm going to change it and just see.
I mean, because if you, when you do that, I mean, it's cool. but the... Then it kind of defeats the purpose of the assassination damage part of the trees. Like, I get the novelty
That's
of it,
true.
And it makes sense.
I don't know what it would do to the assassination damage, if it would take it off or not.
It would just be used for all that. And mind you, I've gone down the tree a little bit, and we do have moves from Odyssey, like the chain assassination, now, which I don't know if that means you throw it and then you teleport again, or if it's something slightly different. We'll see. But if it's that sort of thing, then all of a sudden you can just take out enemies all at once instantly because of that perk. So it's like,
The other thing,
mixed bag.
The other reason I might not is because I did find this one, this one skill in the tree where if it's a higher level enemy,
it triggers a QTE to
let you get a
more. I think I just unlocked that one, actually. I think I
really? I don't think I unlocked it yet. I think I just made it show up and kept going, because that's how I'm doing it, is I'm just kind of finding ones I really want. But
makes sense.
I might get that one first and see if that's better. I just really want to be an assassin.
Being assassin is cool. I think that's that was the route that I went down initially as well. It gave you like the first three options, and you had no idea that it was going to branch out as much as it did already. But
I hate it.
But I clicked on assassination damage, and after that, it's like, okay, the next one is like melee or range, and I'm like, I thought this was going to be like an assassin's tree
that I go down. That's what I hate. I hate. I'm to the point where I'm not even looking at like what I'm adding. I'm not looking if it's range or melee damage or whatever. I'm looking for what the next
skill is going to be. Right. Yeah.
So I genuinely don't even care what I get.
What you pick up.
Which is a bad way to play it, because I'm probably shooting myself in the foot.
Very misbalanced player. But I mean, at the same time, you're going to be able to reset those skills for free. So if you wanted to respec, it's very easy to do so. But hey.
Yeah.
But like Robbie said earlier, we could talk about Assassin's Creed Valhalla for literally the rest of this podcast.
But we're not going to be on this podcast for long, so we're just going to talk about Sean. What's Apple doing?
What is Apple doing? Actually, I should find out.
Because they're not in Assassin's Creed Valhalla, so I hate it.
They don't even have a console. Not even gamers. Anymore. If you're an Apple person, you're not a gamer.
Whoa, CNN one day ago. And CNN is the best news source, as we all know. Apple to pay $113 million over deliberately slowing down iPhones. Apple has agreed to pay millions of dollars to 34 states over its controversial previous practice of deliberately slowing down older iPhones to extend their battery life. The company will pay $113 million to settle an investigation by states including California and Arizona over how Apple wasn't transparent about this about its iPhone battery problems that led to unexpected devices shutdown. Instead of disclosing the issue to its consumers or replacing the batteries, it pushed a software update in December 2016 that impacted the performance of older iPhones.
Because of course they would.
Oh, wait. And then this article goes on to say, at the time, the company issued a rare apology, temporarily dropping the price of a replacement battery from $80 to $30, and added a feature to allow iPhones to use to monitor battery health. I love this because so what they did is your phone died because Apples are made poorly.
Yep.
Right. Then it dropped. Then it dropped a an update to slow down your phone. So if it didn't die, it would be slower but wouldn't die. And then they said, sorry, your phone is dead. Buy a new battery. And here we have a feature now that shows the battery health, which I'm sure Android has. And then they're like, but we're not going to make it faster. We're not going to let you reverse the update that slowed down your phone. So even if you bought a new battery, you just had a slowed down iPhone. Literally, that's the worst way to fix it.
It's funny because when you buy an iPhone, it's a slowed down Android. So now it's just double slowed down. It's, man.
This is not. This is not even the first time this year that they've settled a lawsuit because in March they paid up to $500 million to settle a to settle a class action lawsuit because they slowed down iPhones to compel users to buy new ones.
Okay, so your phone... Well. The thing about the batteries is probably... That was only half of it. They just took a stab again at getting more money. Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, and imagine owning an Apple.
What is that? How does that go in court? How's that, like...
Yeah.
Man, you're talking to the judge, and it's like, so why are your phones deliberately slowed down here? There must be a legitimate reason, I imagine. Millions of people have entrusted themselves in your pocket. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and they trust in you.
Yeah.
So why are the phones the battery?
Battery doesn't work. When the new phone comes out, the old phone battery die. What can I say? That's the only reason. And it's every time a new phone comes out, too. I don't know why. It's just how it works. We haven't looked into it, though. Okay.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
No. You get that's funny. You must mean you've done a few investigations already before releasing them, of course.
We've updated we slowed them down. Does that help? We slowed down the phones that the battery died.
That is what we're here for.
And... If your battery die, you could just buy a new one.
How much, pray tell, are the batteries? They're 80, free. You're giving them complimentary for the issue, right? Because you,
what does that word mean?
Issue?
No.
Complimentary.
What?
Complimentary?
Yeah. Yes. I've never heard it.
Of course you wouldn't. You owe us $113 million.
Do you want...
Thank you.
Well, if you want a charger, then you're going to have to pay for it. Doesn't come with the phone anymore. That's what you get. Also, I like that the CEO of Apple, Tim Cook, admitted that the revenue in 2018 was hit by reducing the iPhone battery replacement. Like knocking your battery $50.
Mm-hmm.
Destroyed your company.
You're only paying $1,000 on a phone that took us $50 to make. And now.
And then you have to buy a new battery.
You're buying a battery that costs us 30 cents to make, and you want us to sell it for $30 instead of
$80.
How is Apple supposed to survive?
The thing about Apple is like. They make so much money because they force their users to make them so much money, right? Because their phones are overpriced. We know that. Their accessories are overpriced. You have to buy their accessories to get them to work. You have to use their, like, software. You have to use this. If your phone breaks, you have to go to an Apple technician, not anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're saying that reducing the price of a battery on an old iPhone has hit their revenue for the year.
When it's,
you know who's replacing that battery
in the first place?
Yeah, it's your own fault. And also, like, you know, you're the only ones who's going to replace that battery because you don't allow anyone else to touch the phone.
Exactly.
So you're already
charging $80 total. Anyway, because of labor, you're gonna tack on labor costs.
Yeah.
oh man, I love Apple so. And here's the thing, guys. Here's why we have the Apple hating segment. We feel genuinely strongly, okay. And we wouldn't do this, by the way, if it weren't for the fact that we feel strongly about it. Because if in the future this podcast thing or the YouTube thing or any of those things worked out, Apple would probably pay us a fortune, like genuinely, because they have money to do so. If they were going to sponsor us, I don't know if they sponsor YouTubers that much or anything like that.
They don't have money anymore. The battery cost was only $30.
But I think genuinely that you are getting robbed if you use their products. There's so many reasons to migrate from them, especially now, even if you're a programmer. Okay, there was a whole reason for a long time the programmers would use macOS because it comes with Terminal and it was convenient for us. Windows is starting to accommodate for many of the features that are available there and that were also already available on Linux.
That's what I was saying. Like, most people use Linux too, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh, man.
So it's so much money, and they rob you afterwards in the form of repairs and amenities, and they're not willing, when it's their fault, to sell you a battery for less than what they were selling it before, despite the fact that they probably still make a profit off of it. It ticks me off with every fiber of my being.
They won't let their phones be used by villains or anything, like
on movies and stuff
like that. I genuinely would not do this about many other companies, like most other companies. I can't think of one right now. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's like a couple that I would do this about. But a weekly hating on Apple podcast segment on our podcast is genuinely, like, I'm passionate about it.
Yeah.
Like, I hate Apple.
I have a passion for hating Apple.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they took my favorite fruit. Okay, it's not my favorite fruit. There's watermelon.
Okay, they took a fruit.
One of my late favorite fruits. And they ruined it.
Yeah.
they ruined. I can't eat apples anymore, thanks to Apple.
I don't. Yeah. Yeah. No. I have to see a doctor every day. Mm-hmm. But.
So, you know, and that's our hating on Apple segment.
Hating on Apple segment. Sean, I'm putting this in the Discord. Don't
look at it.
This is next. Okay. This is, well, you can look at it, but don't say anything because this is next week's hating on Apple podcast.
So. Okay. Well, I can't look at it now because, you know, video watchers.
So don't look at it.
I'll look at it after.
Okay. There was something else I was going to bring up before we ended the podcast, but I don't remember what it is. So.
Yeah. So we'll talk about it in the next podcast.
Thank you guys for listening.
Wait. I just want to do a quick shout out. I think we're not I could probably say this next week, but we're gonna say it in advance now. The 25th of this year, good old Christmas time of this month. December 25th, we're going
not this month, next.
Oh yeah, next we're month. Still in November, aren't we? Weird. But the 25th of next month, Christmas Day, we are going to be releasing our very first music video and potentially our very first video to the Giraffe Gang channel. I will have a link to that in the description. I'll probably make it by the time this podcast comes up, as in tonight. And basically a month from now, we are going to have a Christmas music video up on there. It's a parody of a very popular song, and I think you guys will like it a lot. It details a lot of the themes that are present in 2020, and I think it's quite funny.
Hopefully will be the first or second video on the channel. We have an idea for another video.
We do have another one.
Not sure if that's going to go up
yet.
We'll see.
It might come up. So just watch out for it. You know, we'll drop the link in the description. Subscribe. You'll know when the thing comes out, and you'll be able to watch it. And you'll be entertained that day. So, you know.
Okay.
All of that is to say, please check out channel, and thank you so much for watching.
Subscribe
or listening. Yeah.
Leave us a 5-star review on Mac,
Yelp,
on iTunes.
Yeah, please do. And then don't use iTunes again. And we'll see you in the next one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.